Live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Show, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
We're back to the Total Education Celebrity Show and the Total Education Network again, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, and Instagram, Total Tutor. And the celebrities just keep on getting better and interesting. And I know we're going to have a great conversation just talking to her off air for a couple of seconds. I said, wow, this is going to be fantastic. So I'm going to welcome the program celebrity from the BET hit series, The Game, Caitlin Simone. You co-star as Brittany Pitts. I appreciate you calling, Caitlin. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And I'm sure you're excited to talk about all the different things going on with you. And it must be so real to be in the seventh season of The Game. I mean, not a lot of actresses get this opportunity to be on a show for that long period of time.
Yeah, it really does seem, I mean, to me, it seems like it happened very quickly. I still can't believe that it's been this long. The years go by super quick, and I'm just so honored to still be a part of the project.
And it just keeps going, and the excitement definitely goes on. But I know your fans out there want to know what's new with Caitlin, what's going on with her. So tell me specifically your latest projects that are going on.
Well, I just got through releasing a music video for my single that I just released. It's called Beautiful Lie, and it's on Vivo right now, so I'm really, really trying to push that single right now. Other than that, I'm still in the studio creating more and more music, hopefully going to be dropping an EP this year. It's just a matter of picking out the right music, and I really can't wait for people to hear that because I'm trying to get, I'm trying to be taken more seriously as an artist, as a musician, so I hope that this does the job. Other than that, I just got through filming a short film with one of my castmates from The Game, Wendy, and it was a great experience. I had a lot of fun. I got to work with a lot of different talented people, so yeah, that was really, really cool. And other than that, just still in the studio every day grinding.
And that's what it is. And do you think that your labor of love is definitely music? It's something that, you know, just drives you every day, would you say?
Yeah, I would definitely say so. I mean, even before I was in the acting field, I was always a musician. And that's probably how I ended up getting the role on The Game, because I sang for the casting directors, and that kind of made me stand out differently from other people that came in. So, yeah, that would definitely be my first love.
And was music always something you loved when you were really young?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I was always singing and messing around, but at the age of 9 and 10, that's whenever I started really like begging my parents to somehow just have me do some type of music. That's what I really, really wanted to do. And they finally got me into some lessons, some piano and vocal lessons. And I was just, that was the best Christmas gift ever.
It definitely seems like it. And then from that process of just being multifaceted, I think that's fantastic. So when you decided to get involved in acting, when you already had some music background, it kind of fit right perfectly, because I think the stage is something that you enjoy, especially if you're a musician. You say, you know, any type of stage is something where you're excited to perform.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, even now, I'm more into the film and television aspect of the whole acting thing right now, but theater and, you know, musical theater, it will always be a huge part of my life. And I can't wait to start getting back into that, because, I mean, I really do feel like an actor should always kind of dabble in some theater at one point in their life. It's really an amazing part of the field.
And we're talking to Caitlin Simone from The Game, and really having an interesting conversation about all her latest projects. And with your new song, I know how excited you are that you have that platform of all your fans that watch the TV show, that you can now say, here is my music. It's more than just what I am on the TV screen. I do so much more, and you can follow me and really love my music as much as you love me as a character on the show.
I was very excited that I got the role on the show because I used it as kind of a ladder for my music. And, I mean, I want to use both of what I do for the other one. Like, my music, if it starts to take off, I hope that I can start using it as a ladder for my acting because I really do love those things that I do. But, it was awesome that I could kind of use the fans from the show, and they already kind of know who I am, but now they can see another side of me.
And definitely, and now fans of the music can go watch the game. So it's such a cool situation where you go back and forth in so many ways, and you have.
I had no clue. This season premiered, and there were actually, I was expecting most people to know me from the show and then find out that I did music, but I had some people come out and saying, you know, Caitlin Simone, the singer, is on the show. We didn't know that, and that was awesome because that means that I had some real fans that just found the music and fell in love with that part of me first.
So, Caitlin, basically a story for our listeners out there who have not watched the show. When you first debuted on the show, how did your life change? Because that's the other interesting part of being on a hit series and people watch it all the time, being recognized everywhere. So how different was your life after it aired?
I was very surprised at first. Whenever the show came on and I saw myself for the first time, of course it was a big deal for me and my family because that was the first time I had ever gotten a role on television, and it was just really exciting. But at the same time, I'm sitting here thinking, you know, this is great. I'm so honored. I'm so excited. But this isn't a huge character on the show for people to go crazy about. And I was very surprised how much of an impact my character made on the fans of the show. I was being talked about, I think I was trending for like 2 days on Twitter, and that was crazy because out of all things on the show, I came on for a few seconds, and people were talking about it all night long until the next day, and people were noticing me around, you know, walking around, especially in Atlanta because we shoot there in Atlanta. People would actually recognize who I am and ask to take pictures, and I was just very shocked that they even were concerned with that character. You know, I really thought it was a small part of the show, and I'm grateful, though. I'm grateful to all my supporters. There were some people that, you know, the one thing, it was being my first role, and I was very excited. I had some people that were kind of mean on the internet, but I had to learn to kind of, you know, put that away and not look at it because I feel like anything that you're going to do, you're going to have people that are going to say some rude things to you. So
absolutely. So how is Caitlin different to your character? Kind of explain that to us. So Caitlin as I guess at home compared to the character you play, Brittany. Tell us how they're different.
Well, I hope she's 100% different from Caitlin. But I have a very stable, happy family at home. I mean, everybody has their ups and downs. But compared to Brittany's family, I think mine is pretty well off. And that's one thing that I kind of learned from taking the Brittany character after dealing with all of her issues and, you know, reading through what she has to go through. It's like, man, my life is just so much better, you know? Like, you really take things for granted that other people have to go through. Because Brittany is a character, but there are people in her life that have to go through what she's going through. So I would say that's the biggest thing for me, just the fact that I have such a stable family.
A stable family. But what about, I guess, personality-wise? What are the differences?
Personality-wise, I would say that hopefully I'm not as spoiled as Brittany is. I feel like she really thinks she deserves the world, and I try to stay as humble as possible. I feel like everything that I've gotten can be taken away at any moment, and you should really, you know, treat people. You know, the simple thing that everybody says, treat people how you would like to be treated. So I try to take those morals that my family has instilled in me since forever, and I try to keep doing that.
So from your music career to your acting career, where do you want one of them to kind of explode, or would you like to see both of them? And who do you see after, if you do want it to continue both to grow at the level that it grows, who do you think you could emulate in success from that taking someone that's on a TV show and music? Is there anybody or from prior history that's like you in a way, for, you know, that has the music and also has the TV?
Yeah, I think one person that I always try to, you know, emulate is Justin Timberlake. I like the way that he did his career with the acting and music side. I really do respect it, because I feel like with both aspects, he takes it 100% seriously, and he's great at both of them. So, yeah, that would probably be one person, Justin Timberlake.
Have you ever met Justin before?
I'm sorry?
Have you ever met Justin before and had a chance to come?
I haven't. I actually went to the BET Awards last year, and he was there. And I met so many people there. I was so excited, but I didn't get to meet him. And I was so sad, because he's definitely an idol of mine.
And when the music, you never know, you might someday do some music with him. So it's the opportunities. And I think that you're definitely open to working with many different people in your music. And for our listeners out there that don't know your music style, how would you define it, your music style?
I always tell people, I don't think that I'm really categorized in one specific genre, but I grew up listening to everything, literally everything. My grandparents lived in Hawaii, so I always heard Hawaiian music. My grandma is Portuguese, so I could listen to Portuguese music. They always had me listening to Motown. And my parents, they had the hip-hop and R&B, and my uncle was a huge rock fan, so I would listen to Incubus and U2 and all those great, great musicians. So I like to say that my style is kind of like an alternative urban sound. I'm trying to put a little bit of everything I grew up with in my music.
And so what is your ultimate goal with this platform, with the TV show, with the music? Where do you see yourself in, like, the next 10 years?
Next 10 years, I really want to get more into film, hopefully, you know, getting a great movie out soon. As far as the music goes, I'm just really concerned with, you know, getting my EP out, hopefully getting an album after that. And my main ultimate goal really is to just be able to experience lives with people all around the world, because I feel like that's what I'm doing. I'm storytelling with my acting, and I'm trying to make a relatable situation so that people all around the world, if they're going through something tough or even something amazing, they can sit down, put these headphones in their ears, or turn on the television and just, like, take a vacation from whatever situation they're going through. So, and they, I hope that they feel like I can relate with them and try to make them feel better. So that's my ultimate goal.
All right, well, fantastic, Caitlin. Where can we find information on you, and especially purchase your music, watch the TV show? What's the best place to find all the different things about you?
Well, Twitter and Instagram, that would be @CaitlinSimone. And then you can also check out my website, www.CaitlinSimoneWorld.com. And everything that you need should be there. Also on iTunes. The song is on iTunes. So
you can go on iTunes and purchase the song. And I tell you, you're definitely have some high expectations. You really are working hard. And I'm glad to see the way you kind of can continue to reinvent yourself, Caitlin, because that's the key component of staying in the entertainment business. You always have to have something new that makes you different from somebody else. And then that's the next step to the next big opportunity. So thanks again for calling, Caitlin.
Thank you so much for having me again.
All right, take care now. Bye-bye. You're listening to Toll Education Celebrity Show on the Toll Education Network, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Toll Education Celebrity Show on the Toll Education Network. Again, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley. Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley. Instagram, TotalTutor. All the different areas you can find me. And I always enjoy the celebrity show. And it's so interesting when you have an actress that's really picking up steam, but also, she's an author, so I can add her in two different shows and keep this interview going for a long period of time with all my different syndicated shows. So I want to welcome the program, actress, celebrity Tina Lifford from NBC's Parenthood. Tina, thanks for calling, and thanks for calling today and talking to us. We're excited to learn about your book.
Well, thank you so much, Neil. I'm happy to be on the line with you and your listeners.
All right, so tell us a little bit about your background, then we're going to go into kind of how you started as an actress. So let's first hear about your background.
Well, my background as an actor, or
just basically just a summary. Summarize yourself for a little bit, and then we'll get.
Yeah,
later.
Well, as a summary, I am. I was born and reared in Evanston, Illinois, which is a little town right outside of Chicago, and I grew up in a good family, a family that that knew discipline, but more importantly, it really taught us. How to respect one another. And I think that that, as a foundation, really has supported every other aspect of my life. My parents told me that we really could do anything we wanted to, and even though my father didn't want me to be an actress because he said that entertainment was a hard life and that so many people in that world didn't make money and they had, you know, emotional problems and drug issues. But he told me that if that was what I wanted to do, then I needed to, you know, prepare myself, be good at it, and go for it. So I have spent my life preparing myself and then going for the things that matter to me. And I have found that that is not, that's a little bit more unusual than I knew it to be back when my parents were laying that foundation for me. And all the work that I do in the world now with the plays that I write, the book that I've written, the work that I do both on the screen and off the screen, it's all about fulfilling my passion or following that thing inside of me that needs to or wants to do a certain thing, and then also making sure that respect and ideas like wholeness and fulfillment are priorities.
That's so important, Tina, and growing up and how you kind of saw where you were going in life and then deciding to be an actress and your father saying, well, you know, he had high expectations and he knew the disappointment of this business. And I'm sure everyone out there, my daughter decides, she's going to go to college, but yet she wants to be an actress. I'll support her, but I'll know, you know, how many people really make it. So I think that your family saw the importance of education, saw importance of family life, that they kind of were, supportive of you doing this, but knew that, guess what, you're not guaranteed to make a living in acting, for sure.
Right. The truth, though, Neil, is that we don't know what is downloaded into the heart. And we must make sure that we live for the realities of this world, you know, and certainly the entertainment business has realities that one must be aware of if they're going to strategically try to be a part of this very challenging arena. But at the same time, it is equally important that if there is a burning desire, you got to ask yourself, where does that come from? And if you don't honor it, if you don't explore it, what will you have left on the table of your life at the end? So both are important, which means that taking our lives more seriously and spending time getting to know ourselves and then doing the work, and it is work, doing the work of sorting through, you know, our feelings and what we think and what our passions are, and then being strategic. That's important work if we want to live truly empowered and fulfilled lives.
And that's so important. Whatever you do, you have to be able to have that mission, and it seems like that's what your life's speaking about, and then we're going to learn more about that in the book as well, why you wrote the book. But so as wanting to be an actress, what do you think, where did you kind of finally see, this is something I could do the rest of my life? What age were you when you finally kind of said, this could be something I can do?
You know, it started in grade school. I went to school, in Illinois, so there were still the electives of drama. And every drama class that I took, Number one, I loved drama. Number two, every class I took, I was standout. I was the standout in the class. My mother knew that I had this passion, so she would give me seasonal tickets to plays that were being done at the local high school or the local college. And I would go with her or with the family, and we would see these plays during the summer series, and I would literally go home and act out all the characters by myself for hours.
Oh, wow.
Until I got to go to the next play, and then I would do it with that play and its characters. So, you know, that there was no question that something inside of me was connected to acting at a very young age. And it was natural that I might want to continue on and make a career of it. I really respected my father's opinions. And so when he spoke of the challenges, I decided that, you know, okay, I'd do it as a hobby, but I'd have a more serious career. And I was working as a publicist, typing a letter, and this is a true story.
Wow.
Facing a blank wall, the typewriter was facing a blank wall, and I was typing, and I literally heard a voice say, "If you don't try this acting thing, you will be miserable when you're 40.
Oh, my. Wow.
I heard a voice say that.
So what age were you when this premonition came? How old were you?
I would say I was like 27, 28.
Okay,
acting, because I had, you know, put the acting into the category of a hobby.
Yes.
So I would, you know, I would do community theater, or I would take acting classes. That's pretty much what I did most of the time to fulfill that part of me. I would just take acting classes. But when I heard that voice, that day, on my lunch break, I went and picked up a trade paper for theater. And in that paper, there was an audition for a play. I don't even remember the name of the play. And it looked like something that was interesting to me. I went on the audition. I got that role. And from that moment, and that was community theater, so there was no money involved, but from that moment to today, acting made its way to be my number one way of expressing career-wise.
It's an amazing story to talk about, because a lot of actresses and they do the bumps and bruises, Tina. They deal with all the different things at a young age. They go through all the stuff. You had it as a hobby. You learned from the business by practicing, but you had another job that paid you and paid the bills and was a career, and that's a publicist. And I think that once you decided, I have to change, that's got to be the most difficult thing. I'm going to now really pursue acting and go full force into this. So how quickly did it happen for you that you got a big break? How long did it take?
Well, I think that there are a couple of things that we should be aware of, or one should be aware of, and practice. You know, I believe that information is only valuable if, in fact, it can lead to application and transformation. So the one thing that I believe every life needs is an intention, and also a vision. So based upon my conversation with my father, I knew that I did not want to be a struggling actor.
Yes.
I did not want to be, it wasn't enough to just be an actor. I wanted to be I came up with a sentence, a phrase that I said to myself all the time. I want to be a well-respected, sought-after, working actress.
Okay.
And that was very clear. You know, I want to be a sought-after, respected, working actor. And, you know, you have to be careful what you ask for, because I certainly have been that. I've had a career that has spanned more than two decades, and I have been a working actor the whole time. I've been in, you know, over 90 television shows. I've done some wonderful films working with Clint Eastwood and Bruce Willis and Sidney Poitier. And you notice that I'm not a star, but being a star was never my intention. My intention was to be a sought-after, well-respected, working actor. And that has allowed me to live a very nice life, and it's allowed me to live a very nice life, and it's certainly fulfilled where I am in terms of the acting, and not everyone has the opportunity to say that. So, you know, having a clear intention and then, I mean, a clear intention and then having a priority, I did not want to be a struggling artist. So anything that I was going to build needed to be built with you know, an eye towards money.
So that is amazing, Tina, when you say that, because, again, the working actors are the ones that are making a living. You might have one break, and you might be a star in one movie or one TV show. But then that's not going to pay the bills for 30 years. You've continued to get opportunities, work with the greatest people in the world. Now, this opportunity with Parenthood, would you consider this something that's finally getting you back into the mainstream of a different role? How would that parallel some of the other work you've done in your career?
Well, what's lovely about Parenthood, and it is it's lovely to be a recurring character with that cast for the last 4 years. That role came to me because I had the intention of being a sought-after, well-respected working actor. So I never auditioned for that role. It was offered to me because a casting director that I who had cast me in a couple of things earlier in my career, who had watched the work that I continually delivered, when the opportunity or the need for my character on the Parenthood show, she just said, I know the person who would be perfect for it. And that's how I wound up in this series that I now have been doing this particular character for the last four seasons. So, again, going back to that early strong intention that I want to be a sought-after, respected working actor was supporting me in opening this door and opportunity, and I expect it to support me far into the future.
Okay, when we get back, more with Tina Lifford, and we're going to go into her book. I just want to finish up one more question about the acting. And again, we really highlight authors on the Total Education Network because we just find it fascinating, because it's your labor of love. And I want to learn about your labor of love for sure. But it's very interesting to hear about the story of your acting career, getting to this opportunity, and being on a great TV show like Parenthood. You're listening to the Total Education Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Education Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network. Again, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, and Instagram, Total Tutor. And I'm with Tina Lifford, and enjoying the conversation from the NBC hit show Parenthood, and really learning about specifically your labor of love, one of your labors of love, and that is acting. How, when you decided at a later age to become an actor, you wanted to be respected. You want to be a working actor. Because really, Tina, to define that for our listeners out there, it does not mean being a star. You're the one that constantly is working. And even if we watch Hollywood all the time, how many TV shows do you see get canceled, Tina, where they maybe had a huge role and got lots of publicity, and then basically people forgot about them that quickly?
Right. You know, the entertainment business really is the first way that that you can see how the internet now operates. Everything moves very fast. So what is hot today, tomorrow it's obsolete. And in entertainment, that's absolutely the case. So one has to work to stay relevant. And in terms of acting, working to stay relevant, some of that is, you know, luck. You get involved in a project that gets a lot of press or a lot of notoriety. Or you find a way to reinvent yourself. You do a play. But an actor has to constantly be working to meet and have the new people in decision-making positions be aware of their work and come to know, like, and trust that they can bring something of value to a project.
That's so true, and it's a process. And again, right place, right time. Willing to audition for the right jobs and keep working and keep persevering. So tell us specifically, what made you want to be an author now? I mean, you know, you had the great acting career so far, and you've written some plays and you've done a lot of things in this business. But to write a book, is that kind of getting out of your comfort zone in a little bit?
Yeah, Neil, I have to tell you that writing The Little Book of Big Lies was the hardest thing that I have ever done in my life.
Oh, wow.
Bar nothing else. And you say, why did I write the book? I was absolutely possessed. I had to write this book. I tried to not write the book. And there were a number of times when I would get halfway through what I thought was the direction of this book. And then it would fall apart, and I would know that I hadn't yet landed on a really sound book, a book that would be worthy of people picking up and reading it from cover to cover. I probably started this book 50 times, and that's not an exaggeration. At one point, I got so frustrated that I literally threw my hands up and said, I can't do it. I can't do it. And I put the book away. And it was an interesting thing that happened. And I say this because I believe that the creative process is so mystical. So I put the book away, and maybe 2 weeks later, I had been thinking for about 5 years about a play, a way in which I could take my love of acting and marry it to my love of what I call inner health and well-being, or inner fitness. And, you know, how could I do that in a compelling way, a way that would give a wonderful interactive theater experience? People would know that they were at a play and enjoy it in the typical ways, but that they would also leave with a new kind of experience, not just of theater, but of themselves.
Yes.
And it was fascinating that once I threw my hands up on the book, The Little Book of Big Lies, I was able to write the play, The Circle, in a phenomenally short period of time.
Okay.
And literally, the play sort of just flew out of me. And it was based upon, the play is, it is a story about how seven diverse women navigate the choppy waters of life together. And so you've got women of all ages and colors, ethnicities. There's always at least four ethnicities on the stage. And you've got, you know, this span of socioeconomic, presence, and ages go from 20 to 70. And I had actually interviewed over 50 women.
Wow.
And because I also, as a passion for the last 20 years as well, I've worked with people as a spiritual life coach, and as a life coach. So I had all of this material available to me, and that play came out very quickly. And I worked with an award-winning director, a friend, Shirley Jo Finney, and she and I got the piece to a place where we could invite talented professional actors to read it for us. And when they read it, they were blown away. We were blown away. We realized that this was a much more impactful and powerful piece than I knew. And so then we went in and we workshopped it, and we really did hone it and turn it into something special. But the real role that the circle played in my life was that I got to see that what the audience was responding to was the stories of these different women, and it's all based upon true stuff. Each woman has some challenge in their life that is their bag, you know, that bag that we all carry, but nobody talks about. And writing the play informed how I should now write the book.
When
I came back to the book, I wrote the book in 14 stories based upon real lives and real issues, and that became and real questions. You know, it says the title of the book is "The Little Book of Big Lies." Well, each chapter addresses one of the lies, and it's asking questions. So you might have a question like, are you thinking that something's wrong and against you? You know, or do you feel, or do you think how you feel doesn't matter?
Yes.
And there's 14 of those, and it turned into a very compelling, expanding, and ultimately uplifting read, or so the Amazon reviews say.
Well, that's the important thing. The Amazon reviews said, and then it's your labor of love, as you said. You created the play. You said, now I could go write the book, and you're getting good feedback so far. And it must make you so excited to have this book and be able to share it with others. And the big lies in life, in a lot of ways, and we don't. Again, we want people to go and check out and pick up the book for sure to learn more about those big lies. But you're really seeing in your life and dealing as a life coach the different turmoil of people that truly just don't understand life. When you coach in life, Tina, you're looking at that person and trying to get them in the right direction in life to see their purpose, their mission, their drive in life. A lot of them have allowed that to be sucked out of them based on difficulties, based on circumstances, based on people around them, right?
No question about it. In fact, in the book, I say that devastating choices are preceded by the devastating lie that we are not good enough in some way, and that this lie gets ingested and swallowed whole. And then once the lie is digested, it becomes an invisible part of our very makeup. We speak the lie, think the lie, and tell ourselves the lie, whether we're conscious of it or not.
Tremendous. Tina, I think that's the thing that people are going to see in this, is that they're going to see themselves in one of these stories.
That's right.
They're going to see a friend in one of these stories. They're going to see a colleague or someone at church in one of these stories.
That's right.
And then help them get through that. And your expertise as a life coach, now you're putting it out in pages so that people contact like someone like yourself to get the help they need before it's too late.
That's exactly right. And before it's too late isn't really talking about one's life, you know, going the direction of, let's say, an addiction or something that really grabs you and sucks the life out of you. But the life gets sucked out of us when fear controls us and grabs us. Yes. The life gets sucked out of us when that there's that voice inside that no matter what you're doing is telling you to be afraid or telling you that you're not good enough or telling you, you know, that that event that took place, you know, years ago is going to control your life forever.
Exactly.
Everyone is challenged by something.
Yes.
And if we don't know and find out ways to, you know, create better inner fitness around it, then it gets to dictate our lives, and that's no fun.
And so, and thinking about that, Tina, when you're kind of looking at this whole process, the title alone, The Little Book of Big Lies, little things lead to these big lies in your life that you that being bullied or having this one day that was horrible that you just couldn't constantly stuck to you. You might have went and done a public speaking one time and you flopped. You'll never do it again. Those are those big lies that are very small in general once you get through the book. So, Tina, where can we purchase your book, learn more about you, where our listeners can follow you on Twitter, all the different areas that we can they can check you out. Tell us about
it. Oh, well, thank you for asking, Neil. The book is, you can buy the book on Amazon, just at The Little Book of Big Lies. You can check me out at theinnerfitnessproject.com, www.theinnerfitnessproject.com. And Twitter, I am Tina Lifford. And on Facebook, my fan page is The Inner Fitness Project. So go check us out, like us, share us. And my mission is that inner fitness would be as familiar and understood a term in our society as physical fitness. It's insane that we spend all this time making our bodies strong.
Yes.
But when it comes to the pains of our hearts, those hurts, dramas, traumas, upsets, and disappointments that everyone experiences, we have so little information and tools.
Exactly.
And I'm all about tools. Let's implement. Let's find out how we can, what those exercises are that makes us strong at the inner core.
Well, you're fantastic, Tina. We're going to definitely have you back on the show. I think you're a friend for sure, and we follow each other on Twitter, and we'll stay in touch and have you back on to kind of touch upon more about your experiences with parenthood, promote that, promote inner fitness, learn more about that. That's your overall brand, but the book, really, people need to go pick it up because, again, we all deal with these big lies that control us so that we can't be successful in life. And success does not measure in money. It doesn't measure in happiness. It measures in overall truly having a purpose and a life to live every day.
Yes.
So thanks again for calling, Tina.
Thank you so much, Neil. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You're listening to the Toll Education Celebrity Show on the Toll Education Network, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Toll Education Celebrity Show on the Toll Education Network. Again, TollTutor.net for more information. Twitter, TollTutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, TollTutor, and always enjoying the celebrity segment and so excited to be teaming up with Days of Our Lives and having stars from Days of Our Lives on the show. So I'm really excited to welcome the program from NBC's hit show Days of Our Lives, Freddie Smith. Freddie, thanks for calling and look forward to talking to you today. How are you?
I am doing well. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And I'm sure that you're excited about talking about this book. And I had such a great conversation about it last month, about the Days of Our Lives Better Living and how these cast secrets to a healthier, or balanced life. Tell me specifically enough when they approached you that, you know, you have to come up with some of the things that you do to live a healthy life. How excited you were to be part of this.
Yeah, I think it's a great book to have out there because I think that's what everyone has in common is they do want to live a healthier and better life, whatever that means to each individual person. So I think, you know, having different sections in the book, like how to eat right, how to work out, or even like fashion tips, you know, maybe someone does eat well and works out and is happy, but they're not happy with the fashion. So this book can really give you different options of what you want to do to live and feel better.
Exactly. And so in your life growing up and stuff, how do you live? Let's talk about, first of all, dieting and making sure you're eating the right foods. What's so important to you that you were able to share in the book?
Well, I mean, I think the overall biggest note you can have, and this applies to every aspect of life, is consistency. You know, if you're eating right and you're going to the gym and doing at least 20 to 30 minutes of cardio or weight training every day, if you do that consistently, it's only a matter of time before your body responds. So for me, I keep the carbs low. I don't eat many carbs. I don't eat carbs like after a certain time of day. And that's like the bread, the pastas, the rice. Like I don't eat any of that past noon. So anything I do is a breakfast thing. And after that, it's just all vegetables, meats, cheeses, nuts, things like that. So what I realize anytime I need to lose weight, that's what I do. I just don't have any carbs after noon, and it just flies right off. It comes right off. So I had my dad actually get on that diet a year ago, and he's lost 75 pounds.
That's fantastic.
So
I'm
super excited.
So you saw how important being an actor, you got to stay in shape to keep the roles that you want and to be able to have the energy to go out for casting calls and different things. What you put in your body is so important, isn't it?
Absolutely, yes.
It's something where if you don't, you're not going to have the energy throughout the day and different things. Did anyone share with you some of your dieting techniques? Who did you kind of get a lot of the ideas of how to eat healthy?
I mean, really, for me, it was, you know, I was an athlete my whole life, so it was kind of something that I just grew up with. And, you know, there were certain times in my life that I did put on some weight and, you know, I was just eating fast food a lot and I wasn't working out. So, I mean, inevitably, if you do that for 6 months, you're going to put on weight. So, I mean, I've had those moments where I have gained weight. But as soon as I hit a certain point, I go, okay, I'm getting a little heavy. I need to get back on my routine. So, you know, for me, what I think is a good thing for everyone to know is find a, because the scale can mess with you. But find a pair of pants that, you know, for instance, like mine are these 31s. They're skinny jeans and the waist size is 31. So what I do is once a month, I'll put on those jeans. If I can button it, then I know I'm good. If I can't button it, then I know I need to lose weight to get back into that pair of jeans. So I kind of use that as a gauge. So if someone wants to go down with a pant size or a shirt size, it's like try on. But the pants work the best. Find a pair of pants that you want to fit in, and every month just try it on and try to button them or keep them buttoned. And that's a better way than the scale because that drives me crazy.
And that's a great way because if your clothes are fitting tight, you know you're not staying and living the balanced life you want to live. And that's a great thing in saying, if I can't get into those jeans, I'm in deep trouble now, especially just because of how important it is to live a healthy life. And what a great role model you are to your father in the way of getting him to lose that weight. And I'm sure you're very proud that you were able to model that healthy lifestyle. And that's what this book's going to do. All your fans out there, Freddie, are going to check out what you do to live this healthy lifestyle and want to model and emulate it because of you being on Days of Our Lives and enjoy watching you every day. So that must be exciting for you.
Oh, absolutely. It really is. I have some of the most amazing fans in the world. So anything I can do to give back is incredible. So if people can get good, you know, eating tips or fashion tips or workout tips, I mean, that's great.
Let's talk about working out, then go to fashion. Working out, what tips did you provide in the book on working out? Give us a little tease of that. How do you live that healthy lifestyle when it comes to working out?
Well, for me personally, what really helped me is I recently moved, and I have an amazing gym in my complex. So for me, you know, it's as easy as just taking a 1 minute going downstairs and hopping on the treadmill for 30 minutes or on a bike for 30 minutes if I'm busy. If I have a little more time, I'll do, weights, I'll lift some weights, I'll do different kind of intervals. But nowadays with the internet and YouTube, it's like anyone who wants to work out and do something different and doesn't know how, go on YouTube and type in like chest workout. There will be millions of different trainers on YouTube and people who have great bodies who are showing you what they do. So, I mean, anyone can just hop on there, type in something on YouTube and try that for a week or two or three or 4 weeks, and then switch it up and do something different. So the internet provides anything and everything you need nowadays.
That's quite interesting that you say that, because then you're figuring out, hey, I remember back in the day when I was in high school learning how to lift and different chest exercises and in college and even when I was a professional wrestler, they didn't have all those techniques. It's like, yes, one or two people, hey, show me how to do this chest exercise. And then you find an expert that's willing to share that information, and that's so key. And you see that working out is something, when you miss that workout, you feel it, right, Freddie? You feel it saying, man, because you know how important you are to wanting to be that in that shape that you need to. So I don't know what types of action shots you have to do on the set and things like that, but there's always a lot of physical activity in dramas, especially soap operas. So you got to stay in shape in that way as well.
Yeah. Yeah, and then to everyone out there, too, it's one of those things that I always feel that the 30 minutes in the gym is the hardest part of my day.
Right.
So I get up in the morning, I get it out of the way, and everything else just seems easy. Like, it's just kind of, it's the one thing that, and you feel proud at night. You know, if your day is great, you're feeling great. If your day wasn't so good, when you go to bed at night, you can say, you know what, at least I worked out today, and I'm going to work out tomorrow morning. So it gives you, like, that satisfaction throughout the whole day. It has so many benefits to just go and take a 30-minute jog every day. It really has so many benefits.
Now, something that I didn't talk about with our last guest last month was involving fashion tips that are in the book. So now, Freddie, I need fashion tips. I'm 6'10", 280 pounds, and as my wife says, I'm really not fashionable at 41. I really am kind of old school, old fashioned, and need to kind of, I guess, stir some things up. Give me some ideas of some fashion tips that you have on a daily basis, you know, from the red carpet to your daily routine that you wear.
I mean, for me personally, I follow trends. I mean, if you turn on the TV, there's always something about what celebrity is wearing now. There's tons of magazines of, you know, how you can look at someone and say, wow, that looks good. But basically what it is, every single person is different. And nowadays, I feel like trends aren't even really that popular. I feel like people can wear whatever they want nowadays. And it's whatever you feel comfortable with. It's whatever, when you put the clothes on, you feel like a better you. Because you're going to go through life and you're going to tackle more things if you feel confident that you look good. And that's what I found with myself. Even when I get down to the weight that I love, when I'm in like the perfect shape of my life, my clothes fit better. And I just feel better. I feel I do more and I accomplish more and I'm more confident when I'm not having to suck in my gut or have to look a certain way for pictures or, you know, my shirt just doesn't button right. And it's just uncomfortable, you know, and that's where I feel like fashion and fitness and health kind of all go together. But it's whatever fits your body right. You know, it's just going out, finding clothes that, like I said, like highlight your attributes. If you've got really nice arms, show off your arms. If you've got really nice legs, show off your legs. Like whatever attributes you have that are great about yourself and that you love, that's what I say for men and women, is find what your attributes are and show them off. And as long as you're happy and comfortable, other people are going to feel that as well. So, and you can get things for cheap. I mean, there's tons of places. I just went to Kmart not too long ago, and Adam Levine has a clothesline, and I got three pairs of jeans that were $25 a piece. And they fit great. And it's like, so you don't have to go and spend $300 on a pair of jeans or $100. I mean, you can go to nice places and find those cuts that fits you well. And they don't have to be expensive. It's just shopping around for the right thing.
See, I wish I had that luxury, Freddie. My size, shopping around for things, it's difficult. I'm not obese at all. I'm still a thin 6'10", and well-built 6'10", but still, finding clothes, that's a hard thing. But great point you make, and I'll have to tell my wife that as well. It's what clothes I feel comfortable in that makes me feel good. Like when I have a suit coat on and tie, especially when I'm doing my television show for Eddie, I feel so confident and ready to conquer the world or go out and present in front of somebody. But if I'm in like jeans and really a tight fitting shirt and, you know, the sweatshirt doesn't fit right, I feel subconscious about things. So great tips for sure in fashion. Now let's go to your upcoming projects, Freddie, and definitely people got to pick up the book and Freddie will tell us where we can purchase the book at the end of the interview. Addicts Anonymous. Tell us about what you're doing with Addicts Anonymous.
Addicts Anonymous has been our baby for 4 years. Me and my buddy Jack came up with this idea about 4 years ago, sitting in his apartment, before we had anything on our resume. And we got a bunch of our friends together for free. We took a camera, and we went to this college without permission, went to a classroom, and we just shot like 3-4 episodes of a web series, and no lighting, no nothing. And we edited it together, and we put it online, and all of our friends and family were like, oh my God, this is so funny. This is so great. And we were like, well, what can we do to make this better? We need more money to make this better. Long story short, we ended up putting it on the shelf for about 3 years, and we didn't do anything with it. And then we found out there's a great website called Kickstarter, and you can raise money. And I go, well, what do you say we put this on Kickstarter? And he's like, yeah, this sounds like a great idea. Let's do it. So we got our team together. We had Nate Hartley and Sean Christian, who's also from Days of Our Lives. Us four came together. We wrote new episodes, and we raised $52,000 on Kickstarter in 1 month.
Wow.
Yeah, and we were able to shoot six episodes with great production value. I mean, everything. We had the light, the whole production, and we had some great people. We had Lori Loughlin, we had Matt Walsh, Gary Lambert as guest stars in our web series. And right now we have it on YouTube, so you can look up Addicts Anonymous or go to addictsanonymous.tv and check out the episodes. And on our end right now, we're just doing marketing and we're taking meetings and we're trying to get it sold as a television show so that everyone can see it on TV. So that's what we're doing right now.
Well, that's a fun project for sure. It's a passion of yours. It's a labor of love. You guys created this from the ground up. Now you have had the funding. Now let's go out and pitch it. So it's all about the same game that you had to do as an actor. Now you're more behind the scenes in certain things because it's your baby, right? And it must make you happy to have that project that, hey, this is something I really like, I really enjoy, and I want to continue to do this. So I have to just go out there and wake up each morning and figure out who can find out more about this, right?
Absolutely, and that's what it is. Because even with acting, I love it so much. But even today, like, I go to work, I'll be there for 5 hours, and I'll be in front of the camera. Excuse me. I'll be in front of the camera for 20 minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
So the other 4.5 hours, I mean, you just sit there. And for me, like, I have to be doing something constantly. So when I was able to direct some of these episodes, when I was able to, you know, be the writer and producer, you literally wake up in the morning, you're there for 14 hours, and you never sit down. And that's what I like about it. I love being able to direct the actors. I love to be able to rewrite the script. I love being able to produce and get, you know, actors there. So for me, where I would like to take my career is to that level. I do want to direct, write, and act. I want to do all three. So that's why I've been focusing all my time on writing movies, writing TV shows, and just trying to get my foot in the door. Because it's hard, like just like starting off at acting as it is with writing, is you need to kind of get that first thing to pop before people can really, you know, not take you serious, but to be able to have, what's the right word I'm looking for?
An ownership.
To show that you've done something, yeah. Like almost like proof in a way, that like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So now people can look me up and see my acting and go, okay, good. He's a good actor. We'll hire him for this. And that's what it is with the writing as well. I'm just waiting to be able to tell that first thing.
You're building your resume. You're building that resume to make sure that, hey, we only think of Freddie as an actor. Writing and producing? No, not Freddie Smith. We all know him about the different acting gigs he's had. But then once you put it on your resume, people could check it out. They say, hey, no, Freddie's pretty good at this. Let's consider giving him a call or taking a look at his certain projects. And you have another project, and I don't want to mess up the name of that project. So tell us about that other thing that you're promoting as well today.
Yeah, I'm promoting this amazing anti-aging face cream, which is incredible. It was just at the Academy Awards on Sunday in every single gift bag. So I was so thrilled that this company called Nerium is truly blowing up. It is a phenomenal cream. And aside from it making people feel better and look better, it gives back so much money to charities. There's a biotech company that was doing research for skin cancer. And that's how this was an accidental discovery, is they were trying to cure skin cancer. So they spent billions of dollars doing research on this cream, and it didn't cure skin cancer. But everyone who was using it was like, well, all my wrinkles are going away. My skin's looking so much better. What is this? So it kind of transitioned into an anti-aging face cream. And now with 30% of all profits are going back to cancer research, which is incredible. And as well as they're going to be donating $1 million to Big Brothers and Sisters this year, and they did $500,000 last year. So this company, it just has core value, core values, and that's why I wanted to be a part of it, because it gives back and it gives people the opportunity to better themselves and look better. So it definitely check it out if you have interest. You can check it out on my website. It's fmsmith.nerium.com.
First of all, where can we purchase Days of Our Lives, Better Living, and also find out more information on you?
Okay, yeah. Barnes & Noble has the book as well as online. Online is a great source as well. You can get it pretty much anywhere. For more information on me, I would just say follow me on Twitter, at Freddie M. Smith. And I'll be tweeting, things I'm doing, and people can kind of keep up.